So we're already in the preparation for Chag, for Pesach. And this week's Torah portion is called Tazria. It's the beginning of a very interesting section of the book of Leviticus of Vayikra that has to do with all kinds of things, bodily fluids and skin diseases and all kinds of lovely elements of the book of Vayikra. But there's a really unique word that is the word of the parsha. The parsha begins with Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar. If a woman is impregnated and gives birth to a male child, then it'll talk about the male child and the female child. But the commentators are troubled by the phrase mazriya, that a woman has zera, seed. It's a very strange formulation. It can easily be connected to kind of old world thought about how pregnancy happens, that not quite sure that the rabbis and others quite understood in its fullest scientific accuracy. But the significance of the word zera, seed, right, seed being seeded, it really only appears one other time in quite this way, and it's actually in the Garden of Eden, says Rabbi Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, where God creates a world, and a world that has seeds that give forth fruit, that are nourishing. To imagine seeds and the process of fruit and vegetables and everything that is of the earth is absolutely significant, both when it comes to understanding children and understanding freedom and liberation at this time of the year. If you think with me about a moment where zera or seed comes up in the Passover Seder, in the actual rite of passage that takes place, that'll take place in a couple of weeks. Of course, you think of Karpas. Karpas is the beginning of the Seder when, let's say, if you wanted the most elegant explanation for why we eat vegetables in the beginning of the Seder, it's because it's a long Seder. And it's a kind of crudité, right? If you were going to fashion a meal the way that the rabbis imagined the Greek symposia, where there are going to be all kinds of questions and conversations and wine will be flowing, you better eat something in the beginning to tide you over. But for the spiritual masters of our tradition, there's a greater significance, and it has a lot to do not only with spring's rebirth, but also the very process of what happens to the seed and what happens to human beings and what the promise is. You see, the rabbis focus on how a seed has to actually die. A seed has to actually let go of its exclusive identity as a seed in order to become a carrot, in order to become celery or parsley. There's a process of what alchemists would call negretto, a blackening of that seed. It has to become, it has to rot. There it is in the ground, in the dark. It doesn't know that it will be becoming a nourishing element of your favorite Seder. And yet its reality, its birth, as it were, is predicated on its death. It can't become what it must become unless it's willing to cease being what it once was. This moment in the Seder takes place before we are free. It takes place right before the story, because if we don't have hope that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of the deepest and darkest winter that we can imagine, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of a story of despair, that there's a flicker of something that might one day, who knows how far in the future, be a lesson that we learn, a nourishing morsel that we take with us, then we can't begin the story. You can't begin to tell the story of freedom unless you have that hope. And so there's that little lettuce, that little celery, little parsley on your table. And we're thinking, oh, it's just something, but it's so much more. And then we do something really amazing. We take that vegetable that was once zera, that was once just a seed, and we place it into salt water. Hope sometimes stings. When you've been disappointed for a long time, when you keep waiting for good news, when you wonder when will it be over, when you ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? In each one of those moments, there's an element of that hope that must also be accompanied by tears and bitterness and potential loss, and we keep at it. Isha ki tazria. This whole process of giving birth to a child, giving birth to a world, is a process of not seeing what's happening, right? Without ultrasound, we don't know how things are moving beneath the surface, but we have faith. We must have faith. In spite of. Because otherwise there's no hope for freedom, for an end to suffering, an end to war, an end to all of the things that we all pray daily we might see an end to. Last night at the Y, I was on a panel discussion with a woman who heads up the Karen Greenspoon Institute, the Greenspoon Institute in Israel, that hands out books to some 500,000 Israeli families, and they also give out books to some 300,000 Israeli Arabs. They have a dual program of handing out books that will invest in Jewish literacy, even in Israel. You might think, oh, in Israel, why do they need books about Judaism in Israel? I asked her that. She said, what do you mean? Of course, those kids need the lens of the books. They need those books arriving in school, and there's curricula around it. And there was one book, she said, that after October 7th, that they weren't sure if they would allow themselves to send to those families, the Israeli Arab families, the Jewish families. And it was a book whose title in Hebrew was Lama Ata Lo Poreach. And it was a book about a child standing in front of a bed where there was a seed, and you could see the seed underneath the ground. Kind of like you could see above the ground and below the ground. And the child was waiting for the flower to bloom if it wasn't blooming. And the story was the child saying, why is this flower not blooming? Why is this seed not giving forth this beautiful bloom, this blossom, this... They thought it might be a little bit too heavy, obviously. And plus, when she looked at the book, it looked like there was a tunnel, like the seed inside the ground looked like a tunnel, so they were scared to send it to the Israeli kids. But they sent it. Because they said the ultimate moral of the story was, you don't see what's happening beneath the surface, but we are a people of hope. We're people of, like, we believe in the possibility of that seed becoming something that will one day nourish us and bring us to the story of freedom and liberation that we hope not only for ourselves, but for all of God's children, all of them. So this is what I'm holding on to this weekend. As we enter into the week before Shabbat HaGadol, the great Shabbat, the next week is a big Shabbat. And I have a lot that I'm thinking about that I'm sure all of us are also thinking about in terms of what this moment is in Jewish history, what this moment is in for us as a community. And I'm looking forward to sharing more of that, which might be a little bit more difficult. But first, I wanted us to nourish one another with a seed that has to first become dark. It first has to become the expression of being lost so that it can be discovered, it can be irrigated, it can become nutritious. That's what I'm holding on to this year as we enter this important week. And bless all of us with being able to find a nourishing seed of hope. Amen. Please rise. So I said last night at the panel that the Pesach Seder is so brilliant. Right after we eat that karbas, we take a whole matzah that is so round or square or perfect. You're like, wow, this is a perfect matzah. And then we break it. That's crazy. The rabbis say you can't begin to tell the story of slavery before you break the matzah. Got to break it. And things are broken. But then we do something brilliant. We hide the bigger piece of matzah in a napkin and we tell our children to go find it. We hope that they'll stay awake. Of course, we should have afikomis for everybody if that were the case, because it's hard to stay awake the whole night of the Seder. But the deeper truth is that the children are able to find things that we adults put away and say, we'll deal with it later, you know? It's a blessing for all of our children to bring us the right questions and for us to have the courage to hear their questions to make a freer and safer and holier world.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romumu.org to learn more about us. please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.